Hello, everybody. Welcome to our podcast. Calliope Awards for 2013 were presented on Wednesday, April 24th. The name Calliope means beautiful voiced, like the muse, the inspiration of eloquence and poetry. A calliope is a musical instrument, a steam organ, the type used in a carousel. And a species of hummingbird is Stellula calliope, meaning little star. Finally, Calliope is the student journal of art and literature published every spring at Northern Virginia Community College, Annandale. It is a collaboration of the Departments of English and Liberal Arts under sponsorship of the Division of Languages and Literature. We are bringing you some presentations of remarkable, talented people. We hope you enjoy this program. Here are winners in the category of poetry as they read from their works. Third prize, Laura Crapo, Wait for Me, I'll Be There.
Wait for me, I'll be there. Hoping for once you'll be early, knowing full well you'll be late. With my book and my fourth cup of coffee, I sit and I wait. The waitress sighs and averts her eyes, her once friendly smile turned to slate. While I contemplate ordering cheesecake, I sit and I wait. Now what has all this waiting taught me? That I'm a fool, an optimist, or maybe a saint? It's taught me this. I don't know where you are. I only know where you ain't.
First prize, Corina Yoon, As He Lies Dying.
As He Lies Dying, in memory of my father. As he lies dying, staring at the azure ceiling, cracked with chip paint, I wonder how will I remember him 10 years from now. In a week, he will have died. His pallid, thin, blue legs, now heavy bricks that he can no longer lift. He lies there on a wooden bed built for my guest in the downstairs bedroom, but I came home alone. He is confined to a frayed, creaky mattress, a betrayal of his limbs. His flesh is rotting like a piece of old cheese. At sunrise, I watch my mother's tears drip into a bowl of oatmeal. The silver spoon she uses to feed him begins to dim his fraught face. He sleeps alone in the cold room, still inhaling and exhaling, every breath carrying him to a different world, a world I do not know. I entered his room the other day with the salty water peeling down my cheeks like the chipped paint on the ceiling. He must have seen my eyes with their cracked red veins dry. I have no more tears, I said. My father says, It's okay, Lily. He reaches out his gaunt bone hands for me. I reach over to cover both his weathered hands for just a moment, my bruised memories of him hidden from view. Thank you.
Next is a winner in the category of creative nonfiction as she reads from her work. First prize, Danielle Ray Woodman, Ghosts of the Old South.
The Ghosts of the Old South. As I sit with my brother Alex in the car, driving down the long country roads I know so well, I can't tell if it is anxiety or excitement I feel in my belly. It is 1:30 in the morning, but exhaustion is nowhere to be seen. It feels weird to be in the driver's seat, and I realize this is the first time I have ever driven to my grandparents' house. Can't see a thing past the car's headlights, but I already know where everything is. This was Alex's idea, to go visit all the places we used to frequent when we lived in the area. I'm sorry for dragging you out here, I say, mostly to make conversation. Nah, it's cool, he says absentmindedly. I slow down as we approach the house and turn carefully onto their driveway. The gravel crunches loudly, and I jump slightly at the noise, quickly turning off the headlights. We just sit at the end of the quarter-mile driveway and stare into the darkness. I can barely make out the shape of the long ranch-style house in the distance, but in my mind, I see everything perfectly. I see it like it was the blindingly bright and torturously hot summer day that I have associated with this place. The front yard always had to look as perfect as possible, with short, dry brown grass and a few maple trees haphazardly thrown about for appearance. I have a wave of nostalgia as I remember the backyard, the only area of their property I ever really knew and loved. How the sudden hills sloped down, littered with pine trees and bumpy roots, the new marsh that had been created by beavers damming up the small stream that ran in the very back of their property. There were two chicken coops. Oh, there were small buildings all over the backyard where Papa had tried in vain to control at least part of the land. There were two chicken coops that were empty because the foxes ate them all. The old shed that used to contain hay for the goats now housed nothing but snakes. And the lean-to that now protected the pale blue tractor from the rain, but had once been converted into a small stable for Topper, the quarter horse. I would walk in the backyard thinking about the battle that took place on the land almost 100 years beforehand. Three different Civil War battles had been fought on this land. There is no physical evidence of the war left, save for the occasional bullet that we dug up. But there was a feeling of despair in the air, a melancholy cloak that seemed to drape over us whenever we were there. It wasn't just the land that made me feel uneasy. It was dealing with my grandparents as I got older. I hated being told what to do and how to do it, unable to express myself, or show my grandparents who I really was for fear of retaliation. Papa made sure to tell me how to be ladylike and a woman of faith, all of which were a direct contradiction to my hot-headed, loud nature. I was unable to do anything I wanted, which included choosing my own faith, or at least how to express it. I would have to listen to his long, prejudiced rants layered with sexism and the occasional racist remark. I would be forced to dress up for church every weekend or sing in the choir so that he could be the proud grandfather of a gifted and spiritual granddaughter, the perfect accessory to the head deacon. Papa didn't want anything to do with me once I decided that my faith was my own choice and I did not want to go to a church that spouted such hateful rhetoric. As I sit in the car, I think about the soldiers, the rebels fighting to save their antiquated antebellum culture as the modern world crashed around them. I think about Papa's intolerance and stubbornness, unwilling to change his ways. I realize that this place is still haunted by the old South. Not by the soldiers that died here, but by the people that still occupy the land. Why did you want to come to this place anyway, my brother asks. You hated it even more than I did. I didn't hate it, I say, as I back out of the driveway. I guess for just once, I wanted to leave this place on my own terms, I say, with a small smile.
The Calliope Committee is grateful to many people at Nova Annandale, staff, faculty, and students for their generous support and creativity. Robert Brown of Nova's Web Services and Digital Media served as technical editor. Nova, we are partners in your success. For Calliope, I'm Shirley Noon.